Rick, great to have you back here at WMUK to preview another Kalamazoo Singers concert.
Thanks, Kara. It's always a delight to be here with you.
I just saw them as a featured ensemble with the Chieftains, of all things.
I know. That was kind of a last-minute fun invitation. Another choir, I guess, couldn't do the performance, so we were asked to do it, and we had plenty of takers, and they worked really hard over a week or two, and really had a good time, had a lot of fun.
It was quite a Celtic feather in their cap.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
So your season, are we up to Canada Day yet?
Not quite. Oh. So, you know, the trip, well, not quite to the Alaska Highway, but we'll be getting there in May. The O Canada concert is coming up, I promise.
Right. All right.
So we'll talk about that one in another couple, you know, 6 weeks or so.
Okay. But you do have a concert planned for Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Yes. You know, I always say how excited I am about the current concert that we're working on, which is always true because that's just the way we musicians are. We get excited about what we're working on at the moment, and then that's over, and then you go to the next thing. So this concert is called A Festival Song, and it's a celebration of wonderful music, old and new, that I've heard around the state from years of judging a high school, middle school choral festival, but also music that may have been performed, you know, in my own time with high school choirs that I might have heard back when I was a student myself, growing up in Mount Pleasant. So it's a wonderful concert of just great music sung by great choirs all over the state of Michigan.
Seems like an opportunity to present forgotten gems.
Can be. And we have three songs that are what you might call old. We're doing this amazing piece. I think this is the third time that I've conducted it, by Finzi, Gerald Finzi. It's called My Spirit Sang All Day. And it's just this exuberant expression of love, of passion. And it's fantastic. It's just so joyous. In fact, the word joy appears in the piece several times. And you hear the song, and it's just you just can't help but experience vicariously as the audience member the joy that the composer and the poet were experiencing as they wrote the music and the words.
Finzi was a pretty famous composer in his day, but you don't hear his
relatively,
words these
relatively
days.
Unknown across all disciplines today.
Yeah.
So, and this is probably his biggest piece. I mean, this piece is very popular, and I've heard it more than once in choral festival. And like I said, I've conducted it. In fact, the two times that I can recall for sure conducting it, I was taking my own top level high school choir to State Choral Festival, and that's the piece we used, so love it.
Well, very personal meaning for you then. Yeah. And the Kalamazoo Singers will be sharing it with the audience. The location of the concert is a bit south of Kalamazoo in Portage.
That's right, in Portage. We're at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. So this is our first concert that we've given there. We had a retreat there in January and love the space. It's a beautiful, you know, kind of a contemporary fan-shaped sanctuary. So the audience sort of fans out in front of you. Very lovely acoustic. You know, it's live but not too live. It's going to be a beautiful place for a concert like this.
A Festival Song, the name of the concert, and Rick has assembled a bunch of pieces that are related to choral festivals, be they high school, college, Some contemporary pieces, I assume, some that do go back a ways.
That's right. So the Finzi that I mentioned is pretty old, but we have several pieces that are relatively new. Now, of course, relatively new, it might be written 5 years ago, but, you know, it takes time for pieces to gain traction. Eric Whitaker, when he first started writing music, people weren't like, oh, Eric Whitaker, he wasn't known yet. Yeah. So we're singing his Sleep, which is now, if you can believe it, like 20 years old or something. But it still strikes you as very, very contemporary. Like if a choir lists Whitaker on the program, it's like, ooh, there, that's a good choir, because they're attempting something that's really, really challenging and very popular and very contemporary. And yet, you know, it's 20 or so years old. Then we've got this, again, relatively new piece by Brian Lewis, which I had never heard of until last year. I was judging, I think, in the Lansing area. Publication date is 2012. This is 2019. But that was the first time I'd heard this piece. And it's called Exultate Jubilate. It's actually our closer. And it's a very exciting I keep using the word exuberant. You know, Finzi is exuberantly in love, and this Brian Lewis Exultate Jubilate is just an exuberant celebration. It's relatively easy to sing, but so satisfying. You know, it just fills your heart with joy as you sing it, and I think as the audience hears it.
Which of the pieces would you say is going to push the singers hardest to go beyond their comfort zone, to acquire, you know, a little more polish and technique?
There are three pieces that are really, really hard on this concert. You know, top level stuff. Sleep is one. It divides into eight parts frequently. Close harmonies, difficult to sustain the energy all the way through. You know, you can sing a forte chord for a few seconds of breath and time, but then he asks you to do it again, and then he says, I want it one more time. And so sustaining that kind of energy physically, it's difficult. It's fatiguing. And then there's just the challenge of getting the notes right, right? Then sort of the opposite in terms of its intensity, there's this piece called The Bluebird by Charles Villiers Stanford, which is another classic from the 1920s, I think, is the date.
I think
maybe a little earlier.
The English cathedral choir kind of tradition.
Yeah. And Kimberly Dunn Adams just did a marvelous recording of it with the Western choir. It's so difficult because it is so intensely quiet, sustained. You have to have a full sound, but pianissimo. The choir is the demands vocally on the technique of the choir to maintain incredible intensity while mostly singing softly. You know, it doesn't get to, like in Sleep, Whitaker lets you go and he says, okay, have at it, right? But in the Stanford, it's so reserved and so subtle, and the portrayal is so gentle, and yet it requires the absolute commitment of the singers.
A little trust as well.
And a lot of trust. You know, they have to know that the soprano ones are going to nail their little flute tone that they do over and over and over again. But then when it's time for the soprano ones to turn up the gas, so to speak, then the rest of the choir's got to rise with them. Otherwise, it leaves them hanging out there and they've got no foundational support. And then the other really, really hard piece is called Daemon Irepit Kalidus, which is by Gheorghe Orban. It's incredibly fun to sing. It takes like, I don't know, a minute and 10 seconds or something. It goes by blisteringly fast. And the text is, it's both funny and poignant and serious all at once, you know. Like it says here, the demon sneaks expertly, tempting the honorable heart. He sets forth trickery amidst praise, song, and dance. However amiably the demon acts, it is still worth less than the heart of Jesus. So you just, it's such a juxtaposition. And the choir, you never really hear, it's still worth less than the heart of Jesus, because the choir seems to be very focused on the demon, right? Because the text is going, demon, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then at the end, oh yeah, it's worth nothing compared to the heart of Jesus. And so you get this, this really... wonderful juxtaposition of these two contrasting moods.
Yeah, it's like the rug gets ripped out from underneath
at
the end.
And it's just, but it's very, very difficult. There's a lot of chromaticism in it. Like I said, the tempo, it goes by very fast. It's a very short little piece. And it's almost a little bit of jokesterism, a bit of tongue-in-cheekness, you know, about how the choir is just pounding demon, 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 demon. But oh yeah, it's worth nothing, right? So it's a bit tongue in cheek and fun.
I would like to circle back around to the fact that the genesis of this concert, these were all ideas you got from attending, judging, being involved with choral festivals. Would you describe what a typical high school choral festival is?
Sure, yeah. So in fact, I'm going to Marshall tomorrow for the next 2 days to judge their choral festival. So typically we gather at 7:30 in the morning. I have a little judges meeting, then 8 o'clock the festival starts. The regions, our districts are geographic, neighboring counties, and it just depends on the population, you know, how big or how small the geographic region is. And the it depends on the district, but sometimes fairly often the districts are separated festival-wise into high school festival and middle school festival, so you often don't have the contrasting choirs of different ages. And the choirs come on stage, they get introduced, they sing their usually two pieces. At state festival, they can sing three. And festival time requirements are that their performances are 20 minutes. During the second half of their time on stage, one of the judges who's out in the audience will go up on stage and do a brief little clinic. And, you know, we say things that we like, and then we suggest things that they can work on when they go home for improvement.
Wow. So you have to be ready to do a mini lesson, right?
Every single time. Absolutely. So we're constantly called upon to have a little tool bag of tricks, you know. By tricks, I guess I mean that just little techniques that can make instant improvement in an intonation or articulation or expressivity, you know, anything like that that is a regular part of the choral art. We have to be ready to come up with, in our opinion, the best thing that they can use at that moment. After they leave the stage, they go to another room and have a sight reading experience where a separate sight reading judge sits them down, and they open up a book that neither the director nor the students across the entire state of Michigan have ever seen before. It's newly composed music. We have, I wouldn't say a staff of composers, but we have a few people who specialize in writing the material for the sight reading portion. And then their scores from three judges and the sight reading judge are added up, and that tally determines their rating, whether it's a first division rating, second division rating, or so forth.
Yeah, that's so intensive. I always underestimate the work being done at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. Another point, I guess, is that you become, as a judge, so familiar with a great deal of repertoire.
There's clearly a lot of repetition because we have what's called a required list. And so the directors have to choose one song from the. Now the list is massive. I mean, I think it's thousands of pieces. But even among those thousands, you know, it distills down to a handful of really, really great pieces. And this concert that I have laid out right in front of me on the countertop here, every single one of these pieces I have heard at least once, and many of them multiple times over the last several years. And what I do is if I love a piece and if it's unfamiliar to me, I have a little notebook that I keep at my desk. And during the judging process, as soon as I get a break, I will jot down the title and the voicing and the composer, and I'll just file that away. And then when it came time to create this concert rep, I just went back to that notebook and I said, oh, I got to do that one. That piece is so exciting. My singers are going to love it. The audience is going to love it, and so on and so forth.
You must have the scores when you're judging. They must provide that so you can follow along.
That's right.
And as you were, you know, breaking down the three hardest pieces on Sunday's concert, I can tell it's all one. You know, how you judge and listen is also how you prepare.
That's right.
And put together music.
That's right. And let me just say something about the state of choral music in this wonderful, great state of Michigan. It's phenomenal. The singing that is going on around our state is oftentimes breathtaking. You hear high school and middle school, junior high choirs that literally leave you speechless, agog. Sometimes, you know, not gasping for breath, but you're so struck by the beauty of what they do that you just... You know, you gasp like that, and it's, in fact, I think, I can't, you know, they run together after a while, but one of the finest ensembles I've heard in my life was a seventh grade choir from Muskegon. I can't remember the name of the school, but I will never forget them. You know, their faces, the performance just left me, you know, speechless.
These are 13-year-olds.
Yeah. And then 2 weeks ago, I was in Detroit, literally the city of Detroit, not in the suburbs, for their district solo and ensemble festival. And I heard choirs from Cass Tech, and I think it's called the Detroit School of Science and Music or something like that. It's an academy. And then Renaissance High School. And I told each of those choirs, I said, you know, first of all, hearing young men and women, 15, 16, 17 years old, sing this kind of sophisticated choral literature and not hacking their way through it, not doing a good job, not doing a great job, doing a stunning job, you know, leaves me breathless, and it fills me with so much hope. You know, Detroit is such a maligned city, and yet you have 16-year-olds singing music at a performance level that would make any college, any community choir like mine very proud, you know, to have that kind of level of performance. The integrity, the honesty, the beauty, the commitment to the choral art that they are bringing. It's amazing. And if we just had, you know, a few hundred more high schools like those, there would be no trouble in the city of Detroit at all.
Now, I understand that the Kalamazoo Singers has invited a young choir for a featured spot on this concert.
We are becoming acquainted with and friends with the Helen Fox Gospel Music Center. And so we're going to have a brief little feature of some students who are going to perform for us during the concert. Because after all, the concert is called a festival song. We're celebrating the music achievements of students around the state of Michigan. And nothing is more fitting than hearing some of their musical growth and development right here on our own concert.
Well, Rick Phelps, I hope your concert is a great success in terms of musicality and, of course, turnout on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Portage is the venue, and have a wonderful concert, Rick.
thanks, Kara. We certainly are looking forward to it, and you know, we long to spend time in front of our audience, and it is such a treat and a pleasure to perform for people who love to hear us sing.